Today is another national holiday, as you know. We had one last week, it was Independence Day, a secular holiday. Today is a religious holiday in honor of the Muslim observance of Eid al-Adha. Is that the correct pronunciation? Eid al-Adha. I have to look it up again. Every year I have to look it up, and I can't remember. It's the Feast of the Sacrifice. They call it the Feast of the Sacrifice. It's in honor of Abraham's submission to God when he was called upon to sacrifice his son. Well, we don't have this feast in Christianity, and the Jews don't have this feast either, even though we do have great respect for Abraham, our father in faith. There's just a little difference, and I think it's good to reflect on, not to have any, no disrespect to our Muslim friends, but it's a little different to celebrate a feast of sacrifice or a feast of submission, and that's what they call this. They honor the submission of Abraham to God. We honor Abraham not as someone who is submitted to God, but someone who has faith in God, because this incident for Christians and for Jews is Abraham being put to the test of his faith. And he passes the test by trusting that God would be faithful to his promises. That's Abraham in the Christian tradition and Jewish tradition. Abraham's greatness is that he trusts in the promises of God, not that he submits to God, which is also, it's part of faith. But faith is more. Submission to God, or submission to anyone, is important, but it loses that dimension of relationship. What we learn from the Jews is that God loves his people and enters into a covenant with them. Right? That's the Jewish understanding of God, that they are the chosen people. God has a special plan for them and has entered into a covenant with them. So it's not only that they're submitting to God, that's included, but there's more to it than that. And to go beyond the Jewish understanding, we see the sacrifice of Abraham and the faith of Abraham as a forerunner to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. After all, the sacrifice of Abraham, the faith of Abraham, the submission of Abraham didn't do anything for the rest of us. It didn't change our situation. It didn't save us from our sin condition. It's just a good example, a great example. He's our father in faith. But it didn't make it different for everyone else. What changed everything was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who, because he's God, makes a perfect offering, and because he's man, can offer it on our behalf. So that does change everything. Jesus Christ has inserted into the human family perfect submission, if you want to use the term, perfect submission to the Father, perfect obedience, an act of perfect obedience, or, to put it more positively, unity of will between the human will and God's will. And that's what we celebrate. I don't know what Muslims celebrate when we have a holiday in honor of Good Friday. It's also a national holiday. I don't know what they do on Christmas either. That's also a national holiday. Christians today, I don't know how we are, probably just go to the mall or something. People go to the mall on these days when there's nothing to do and it's a hot day, they just go to the mall. But what we should rejoice in is yes, we're happy to have the greatness of Abraham's faith, but we're much better off that God has entered into our condition and restored it, set us free from sin, so that our relationship with God is not only submission, but love, a covenant of love, a greater covenant that even than the Jews had. God has made it possible for us to be his beloved sons and daughters, given us a full inheritance in his kingdom. So you see how much greater that is than submission? I mean, submission is important, but that's what slaves are. Slaves submit to their masters. But the children of the king are part of the king's reign and share in his heritage. That's what we have. Okay, so with that, let's look at these readings. I just think it's good to rejoice in how much more has been given to us as Christians. Well, okay, so we take a look at this reading from the first book of Kings, terrible story of how the evil rulers, Ahab and his wife Jezebel, take the vineyard of Naboth and set up a way for him to be killed, to get Naboth out of the way. It's a classic story of corrupt politicians, corrupt civil leaders abusing their authority to get what they want. This is not unique to Naboth and Ahab. This is repeated again and again and again. You could look in the newspaper today and find a story like this, right? Some barangay official gets rubbed out because some big governor or somebody wants his business. These kinds of things just happen all the time, sad to say. Now, the story as it's presented to us today ends on the terrible, it's at the low point. Naboth is dead. Jezebel is gloating about how great she was and figuring out a way to get rid of him. And Ahab is marching down the road to take possession of the vineyard. So he said, how much worse can it get? We get the resolution to this story tomorrow when we hear God's intervention and his response to this injustice. But for now, we're just left with this injustice, this corruption, this murder, this theft of a man's ancestral heritage. And our natural reaction to this kind of injustice is to strike back. Now, Naboth is dead, so he can't do it. So we would expect, now setting aside what we know about Christianity, just on a natural level, we say, well, Naboth's family is going to rise up and rebel against Ahab and Jezebel, or maybe even try to assassinate them or something, because after all, how do you correct an injustice? Well, you punish the wrongdoer, right? That's what you do. If somebody kills your kinsmen, well, then you kill one of their kinsmen. That's what you do. Get even. Like, kill the whole family. Well, no. That's not what you do. And this is where the gospel comes in. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, addresses this very tendency. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. That was the old law's way of saying, if you're going to establish a principle of justice, don't overdo it. Don't overdo it. Don't knock out both eyes, just one eye. Balance, justice. To us, that already sounds terrible, but when that principle was first established, it was actually an improvement on the tendency to wipe out someone's whole family, to retaliate, and more than retaliate, to get revenge. So that eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, was to limit the retaliation. What does Jesus say? That might be what you heard, but that's not the law I'm establishing. That's not what I'm planting in the human family now. I have a completely new way of dealing with injustice. Now remember, this is Jesus who fulfills the sacrifice of Abraham, who fulfills the sacrifice of the Lamb, and the Passover Lamb, who fulfills every Old Testament law and prophecy. This is Jesus who is the fulfillment of everything God had prepared. And he comes along and he says, well, when you're dealing with injustice, don't do injustice to counter injustice. In fact, turn the other cheek, which is not simply submission to injustice, but exposing injustice. In other words, I'm not going to be beaten down by what you do to me. I'm not going to retaliate. I'm going to let your own conscience experience the wrong you have done to me. If someone does that to you, say, oh yeah, okay. You eventually realize, well, I can't just keep hitting the guy. I'm in the wrong here if I strike him again. Now, that doesn't always work right away. But this is Jesus saying, there's a way to diffuse the process of injustice after injustice after injustice, and that is to absorb, to accept, to trust in God, to trust that there's another dynamic at work here, which the evildoers don't know yet. In other words, to take the attitude of Jesus himself. Jesus who offers himself in sacrifice. It's not a natural thing. It's not something that comes to us. We don't even like it. Our nature doesn't even like it. It doesn't sound right. What do you mean, offer yourself in sacrifice? He's the bad guy. He's the one who should be punished. Why would I offer myself in sacrifice? Not because you think you're good or because you think that's a naturally good thing, but because of what God has revealed in Jesus Christ, the victory of love over sin and death is revealed in Jesus Christ. And that victory is what has been given to us. That's why it's possible for us to go the extra mile, or to turn the other cheek, because we know that that's where we are opening a way for the power of God to enter into the crazy human situation. You know, if you're the family of Naboth, and some corrupt politicians have wiped out your brother or your relative, what are you going to do? Get a bomb? Get a gun? Start a war? Yeah, you can do that. Is that going to make it better in the long run? No. A violent response to violence breeds more violence. That's why an eye for an eye and a tooth for tooth, it doesn't work, even though it's just, it doesn't work. Because as soon as someone knocks out your tooth, the first thing you think of is, well, that's not right. Even if I already knocked out his tooth, I don't think of that. I think only of what I've suffered, and then that's what I'm going to give back. And Jesus says, no, no, no. I'm inviting you to live on a higher plane, something that will not come naturally to you. It's not just submission. And back to the Eid al-Adha. It's not just submission. It's not just a praiseworthy sacrifice. It's union with Jesus Christ. It's union with the power of his sacrifice that makes it possible to overcome injustice. Also, it's faith that God ultimately is always victorious. God is victorious. Love is victorious. Mercy is victorious. We might not see it right now. In fact, often we don't. But we know it's true. This goes back to what we learned in yesterday's second reading. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith. To walk by faith means I trust that that love is the right response, that mercy is the right response, that God is in charge. I trust, even though I don't see it, all I can see is corruption and injustice and violence. But there, I know by faith, and that's what I see. If I walk by sight, that's all I'm going to see. But I know by faith there's more to it than that. And this is what Jesus is inviting us to enter into. The whole Christian message, the whole Christian faith is built on this higher dimension, this covenant of love, this new law. And that's why that makes all the difference between Christians and everybody else. So we give thanks to God for this higher law, and we ask the Lord to help us respond with his love and not just the reactions of our nature and our flesh.